Blog Talk Radio.
What up, everyone? Happy Monday to one and all. This is the Cave Show with PLR. This is PLR, and we are back, ready to roll. And another fun-filled week. There is so much. I honestly don't know where to begin. I've got sound from you from Mike Hayden. I got sound for you from Christian Walker. I got sound for you from Archie Bradley, all with the D-backs, all talking about plans. I've got more sound than that. I just can't get to it all. We only got an hour. I got sound from Suns GM James Jones talking about playing in the bubble. He spoke to us about a lot of stuff. DeAndre Ayton spoke to us about stuff. I think I played that sound for you on Friday. We got that to get into. Bubba Wallace, president, asked for an apology from Bubba Wallace. I don't even know where to start with that. So we got that to get into. Patrick Mahomes signs a 10-year deal. We got that to get into. And on top of it all, the cherry on the sundae, I have the one, the only, the great Michelle Rosado, the raging babe herself, is on with us today. Boxing's best promoter. I don't care what you heard about everybody else. She is a creator of the Philly Special. I get to talk to her about boxing, her favorite fighters, her favorite fight, all that stuff right here on the Cave Show today. I honestly think I'm the most fortunate person walking around. With all that being said, welcome to the Cave Show with PLR. This is PLR, and we are sponsored and brought to you by the one, the only Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco. You know, they're the best cigar spot in the valley. Get in there and let them know that PLR sent you. They will take care of you, tune you up. 10% off of your cigar purchase. All you have to do is real simple. Let them know that PLR sent you. Now, if you can't get down there, I know there's a crazy world we're living in right now. You can go and you can get online. You get the same exact selection. And that's at Stogie World, S-T-O-A-G-I-E, world.com. And if you order most items shipped out, same day. So you're not sitting around waiting, wondering where your sticks are. They get shipped out, they get shipped to you, and you're set. Now, the good part about going in, you get the discount. Like I said, all you got to let them know is that PLR sent you, and they will definitely take care of you. 10% off your cigar purchase. Now there are still lockers available. You can become a club member. Go in, sit down, relax. Sports is about to start back up. We're going to kick it off again. So you're going to have, well, it already has kicked off. You have your UFC, you have your golf, you have your auto racing, you have all that stuff. So we'll kick it off with that. You can sit down, watch, enjoy. Now, I'm not sure with all the stuff that's going on if you can get the beer and wine, but you can definitely enjoy your cigar. And that, again, is at Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco, located on Alma School in Channel Heights, 4991 South Alma School. Everyone, welcome to the Cave Show with PLR. This is PLR. Thank you for joining me this Monday following a holiday weekend. Hopefully everyone was safe. You enjoyed the fireworks in the air. If you enjoyed them on the ground, please, please, I hope you are safe. You started with 10 digits if you did, and I hope you still have the same 10 digits because those firecrackers are no joke. I remember when I was a little kid, I saw a guy say that he could hold a firecracker in his hand while it went off. And it was one of those stupid tricks, and he did. Now, fortunately, he didn't lose anything, but he had his hand wrapped from the burns for about a month. So hopefully everyone was careful and took care of themselves and took care of their families, and they enjoyed their long weekend. So I want to jump in. I want to start with basketball. I want to talk a little hoops with everyone. We're getting there. We're getting there. We're getting ready to get started with everything. Basketball is coming. They're going to be playing scrimmages. They're going to be playing games. They're going to be ready to roll. Now, everyone did this a little bit differently, though. Not everyone did basketball gear up the same. You got guys like Chris Middleton, who basically said they barely got to shoot a ball a lot at all. You got guys that were gym rats. They never left the gym. All they did was play ball. You got guys like DeAndre Ayton, who said, you know, I kind of like being away from the court.
I won't say I had a break. I was happy, to be honest. I played 2K. I felt like I was back in high school. I played 2K all day. Skipped some sleep, playing the game all day. So I didn't really have a hard time. You know, obviously, everybody was on me about going to the gym, but obviously I picked it up to where I fitted in my schedule. I put basketball into my schedule later on in the quarantine. But, yeah, I definitely took advantage of taking that break, taking that load off. And I think that's why I have so much energy, really, because I wasn't thinking about it. And, you know, I was just waiting for the world to get back to normal. And, you know, we're showing some freelance in a way for us to enjoy ourselves. So I start picking up basketball and working out harder every day. And now I have more energy.
There's a lot that's going on. You heard him say he just played around. He relaxed. He did his thing. But we have a lot of facilities shutting down left and right. The Bucks shut their facility down. The Kings shut their facility down. And it brings the question, what is going on? Because it's not just the players now. It's the coaches, the training team, the people around them that have to travel with the team. So it's everybody. And so earlier today, I asked James Jones, you know, in talking with other GMs, are they concerned once they get inside that bubble?
The GMs I've spoken to, we all believe that the safest place to be is in the bubble. Here in Arizona, you see the cases are skyrocketing across the U.S. The cases are spiking. And our players are a younger generation, a social generation. And the more the more constraints you can put in place, the better. The structure of Orlando will be beneficial for us. So our anxiety is getting to the bubble healthy. But once we get there, we're back in our element, playing the games, playing basketball on a regimen schedule, and in the league with all their protocols. Like it's amazing. And so I'm not apprehensive about that.
Well, you heard it. He's not apprehensive. Other GMs aren't apprehensive about everything that's going on. And we're going to talk a little bit more basketball as we go on along, like I said, with baseball and all the stuff that's happening. And the president decides that he's going to ask Bubba Wallace for an apology, and he's going to jump in on the Indians and the Redskins names. We'll get into all that later. Up next, though, I have the one herself, the special one, the true one, the great one. And I got Michelle Rosado here in exactly 15
The Law Office
seconds.
Of Carrie Lackey should be your first and only call if you are in need of a criminal defense attorney. Also specializing in DUI and accident cases, contact the Law Office of Carrie Lackey online or call 602-288-2303. And remember, the best offense is a good defense.
On the Carrie Lackey Law Line right now, the one, the only. You know what? When you think ladies, promoter, boxing, Philly special, all that stuff, there's only one person that comes to mind, and she is here with us today, my friend, the one, the only, Michelle Rosado, Raging Babe. What's happening?
Hey, how are you? How are you, Paul?
What's going on? It feels like it's been forever since I spoke to you.
Yeah, it feels like it's been forever since there's been sports to talk about, watch, or anything. It's the weirdest time right now, isn't it?
It is strange. It is. What's weird is being a sports reporter that covers all sports, and there's not one game on. I'm watching cornhole finals. I think I'm going to start to protect my tossing methods in the backyard and see if I can become a pro athlete at 51.
I know. I can't even imagine. I mean, what's there for you to really talk about? I mean, in boxing, it was kind of dry for several months, and then Top Rank and ESPN, they came back on, and they're doing shows twice a week on Tuesday and Thursday nights, which has been really cool on ESPN. However, you know, it's just been quiet. You know, the ratings aren't doing too good. There's not a lot of people tuning in. And I'm like, you know, are people just not watching ESPN right now? Because there is no basketball. There is no baseball. There is no football. So I think people found other things to do.
I think that, and you know what, I'd say boxing or baseball or UFC, they're almost like a shopping mall. If you don't have a Nordstrom's or a big store, you know, a Macy's on the end, the anchor store, then the stores on the inside suffer. And I think without football and basketball, even though all the other sports are great, they're suffering because the anchor stores aren't there drawing that attention. And I think that's what's happening. That's why people aren't watching as much. But I will tell you this. I think, see, here's why I think boxing, and that's why I so wanted you on, where boxing can pick up the baton here, because there really isn't any other sports. Wouldn't this be the time to get some of those big-name fighters together
boxing on TV? Yeah, you would think so. However, a lot of the big-time fighters get paid big-time money. So for a promoter, you know, if you have a TV package, like Top Rank has a TV package with ESPN, that's all good and dandy when you're trying to build your young prospects, maybe a couple of your contenders. But the guys that are making like $1 million, $3 million, $5 million a fight, there's just no way you could put them on right now without there being a live gate, without there being a crowd, an audience, right? Because you need those ticket sales. So, you know, let's say ESPN pays Top Rank, you know, $1 million for a show, you know, to own the rights of the show. Well, they have $1 million budget that has to pay for all the fights, all the expenses, all the insurances and liabilities and the travel and the yada yada, the extra COVID testing. So it's really not feasible for them to put a guy like Terrence Crawford on right now, or Lomachenko, or like the bigger names. It's just not financially doable.
Let me ask you this. On the Cave Show, PLR, on the Kerry Lackey Law Line, Raging Babe herself, the one only Michelle Rosado. And I'm glad you're the perfect person to ask because you're a promoter. I thought that the most of the money for the boxers came from the pay-per-view hits. Ticket sales still matter that much in boxing?
Yeah, I mean, if you look at the Fury Wilder 2 show that happened in Vegas several months ago, the live gate did like millions. I don't remember exactly the number. It might have been 14 million, 15 million at the gate. That's huge. You know, when you lose your live gate, how do you make up for that money? So not that every show has a blockbuster gate like that, but let's say the gate does make $1 million. You know, that's $1 million that you could pay the fighters or that you pay other expenses. So when that goes away, how do you make up for it? You can't. You know, so at that point, as a promoter, you either start taking losses, you know, and you just put up your own money and keep doing shows and you're going to lose and bleed, or you just wait for things get back till they get back to normal. And in the meantime, try to get your prospects busy, try to get them some wins, you know, maybe a couple contenders that, you know, still aren't making six figures, stuff like that. So that's what they're getting on ESPN, and that's why there's not a lot of hype. And honestly, I don't think ESPN or Top Rank is doing enough of the promotion. So I wish I saw more on social media of them pumping the fight. I wish ESPN was running more commercials like all day, all night to tell people, hey, tune in. We have boxing back every Tuesday, Thursday. But they're not. They're simply not doing that. I don't know why, but it's not happening.
Wouldn't it behoove them, though, to do that? I mean, because you have all the odds. UFC, listen, I see UFC stuff all over the place. I see Dana White on every freaking show. And listen, I'm going to tell you something. I'm not the biggest Dana White fan, but he's promoting the hell out of UFC. Even if this island thing doesn't jump off, he's talked about it so much that you're curious about it. Why is boxing not doing that?
You know, I don't know the ins and outs of the contract between ESPN and Top Rank and ESPN and UFC. Maybe part of the contract said that the promoter is responsible for advertising and for promotions. I don't know the ins and outs, but you would think that the network would want more eyeballs tuning in. But maybe this is a test. And I hate to sound like I'm coming up with this big conspiracy theory, but maybe they want to see, you know, how good is Top Rank as a promoter? How are they bringing in viewers, you know, without us? Like, are they promoting hard enough? Are they marketing these fights? Are these fighters good enough that people are going to tune in? Maybe it's almost like a test, because when their contract is up, ESPN's going to say, do we really need boxing on our network? And
yeah,
that's the problem.
And you
don't know.
And it's sad because I'm still a boxing person. I mean, I'm not downing UFC. They do their thing however well they do it. But I'm still a boxing guy. I still like the science. I don't – there's nothing attractive to me, and this is only me, with someone being kneed in the head or being choked out. I like boxing. I like – you see a guy, his arms are slowly – you know, you're gut punching him, and you see his arms slowly falling, and you know – the headshot's coming. I just like little things, and I just don't. I don't get that out of a 3-round marathon, whereas I get a boxing match. And I wish they would do a better job with doing that. But I do want to ask you this because I got a couple serious questions, but I got some fun stuff too with you. And I got the one only Michelle Rosado, the Raging Babe. What is the best fight? The best fight that you've ever seen
in person? It would probably be a tie for two very different reasons. So the first one would probably be Mayweather-Canelo. That was a huge, huge event. Was so honored and grateful that I had an opportunity to actually work that show with Mayweather Promotions at the time. And it was unreal. I mean, the atmosphere, the entire fight week. I had tweeted the other day that, you know, we would sometimes start work at 7 in the morning at the MGM Grand, and we wouldn't leave until 2, 3, 4 a.m. And I would literally have to go to my room and, like, dunk my feet in ice water. I mean, it was grueling. A Mayweather fight week is like nothing I've ever seen or experienced before. It is, like, nonstop, 24-7. But anyway, the fight was so good because, you know, Canelo was this young lion and all the Mexicans loved him. And a lot of people were picking him to win. And Floyd just showed that he's still a veteran. He's still the best. And, you know, it wasn't even close. But what I loved about the fight was that it made Canelo a better fighter. Typically, when Floyd beats you, you're never the same mentally, physically,
right.
You know, a lot of fighters. And just look at the history when he beats them. They're never the same. Their career has never been able to go anywhere after him. And Canelo used it as a lesson, and he skyrocketed after that fight. He became a better fighter. He became more defensive. He became more popular. I mean, look at him. He's like the pay-per-view star now. So I think he's the only fighter after Floyd that was able to do that for his own career. And then I would say the second best live fight that I've ever seen is I flew out to Omaha, Nebraska to see Terrence Crawford fight Yorkis Gamboa. And it was huge in Omaha. They love Terrence Crawford. And when I looked out into the crowd, you know, you saw Warren Buffett. You saw a bunch of college kids, like the Nebraska Huskers, you know, the college kids were there. You saw lawyers and doctors. You saw the hood. You know, you saw the Bloods and the Crips and the hood. When I tell you that entire state loves that kid, it was so diverse. It was the coolest. I saw farmers, hillbillies, everybody and anybody was there. Parents with their kids, white, black, Spanish, it didn't matter. That was such a cool atmosphere. And actually, I went back to Omaha when he became the undisputed champion, when he fought in Dango, and there were people crying and screaming in the crowd for him. So, you know, between Mayweather Canelo and probably like Crawford in Dango, those are probably the two best live fights I've ever seen.
I'm going to tell you something about that Mayweather Canelo fight.
Mm-hmm.
It made me a lot of money because I remember a bunch of people talking, and I remember saying, look, Canelo's too young. He's not ready. And I have friends say, yeah, well, once he hits Mayweather once, I'm like, that's just it. Every time he swings once, he's going to take back two pork chops with him. And so he's not ready. And I had a guy, I had a bunch of people, and this was the hardest time. And I should say this. I was in a spot where I could legally gamble. Well, I better watch out, I get myself in trouble. And so after the fight, someone said to me, oh, my God, you know, Mayweather's such a chicken. He wouldn't stand there and go toe-to-toe. And I looked at him. I said, you know what? Maybe you're thinking of fighting. I was watching boxing. And the key in boxing is to hit and not get hit. And the only person who got hit mm-hmm. is you. Now pay me my $50, and let's move on about our business. So yeah,
right.
Mayweather took care of me. I got to be perfectly honest with you. That's he did. he got a brother paid on that one. Who's
Good.
Your favorite fighter? Who's your favorite fighter? I think I already know.
Oh, I think, everyone in the world that follows me on social media knows that Felix Tito Trinidad, no one even comes close to second. He stole my heart. He made me fall in love with boxing. I always loved it. You know, I loved Tyson, and I used to love watching my dad watch some of the old school fighters when I didn't really understand yet what I was watching, like Sugar Ray Leonard and those guys. So, but Tito, just that's when I fell in love with boxing.
There it is. I feel like I'm watching Love and Basketball. I'm ready for the music to play in the background. Michelle, when did you fall in love with hip hop? Anyway,
he was the perfect verse over the perfect beat.
There you go. On the Game Show with PLR, the one only Michelle Rosado, the raging babe. You said Mike Tyson. He's 53, 54, somewhere in there. He's thinking of coming back. Good idea, bad idea, or it depends on who he's going to fight.
No, it's a really bad idea. Financially, I'm sure it's a wonderful idea for whoever would promote this. And I've heard that the bare knuckle boxing people are really being aggressive and offering him like, I don't know, a $15, $20 payday because they understand what kind of revenue something like this would do between the live gate and the pay-per-view sales. But, you know, he's over 50 years old. And it's not like he's a Bernard Hopkins 50 years old. Bernard Hopkins lived a clean life. He didn't drink. He didn't smoke. He didn't even eat sugar for, like, the past 15 years. Like, he wouldn't even eat a cookie, you know, where
wow.
Tyson is 50, but he's an old 50. You know, he abused his body. He snorted cocaine. He drank alcohol. He just lived a really different lifestyle. He loved the party life. I don't think his body could take, you know, any type of punishment. And so him hitting the bags and him hitting the mitts, it looks really good on camera. But, you know, you got to remember that mitts don't hit back. The bag's not going to hit back. So he could hit that thing as hard as he wants. But the real story is that his reflexes probably aren't going to be all there. He's not going to be able to dodge a punch from like a Deontay Wilder. And that's not because I think Deontay Wilder is better than Mike Tyson. But like today, you know, a Wilder versus a 53-year-old Tyson, just not happening. It's just, I don't like the idea of it. I think Tyson could really get hurt.
Yeah. When you were just saying that, Deontay Wilder, Tyson Fury, we know they're going to fight again. It would just off the cuff. Would anything be different? Because I saw a boxer fight a brawler. And in my history of watching boxing, and you know way better than I do, boxers always win those because they know how to move out the way.
Last night they actually re-aired Fury Wilder 2, and I watched the first couple rounds again. And Tyson Fury's ring IQ is just so much higher than Deontay. Deontay has this huge right hand, you know, he's got this equalizer, this eraser, but that's really all he has. And hey, sometimes that's all you need to have. But with a guy who could actually box and move like a Tyson Fury, a guy that has really good ring IQ, that's a big problem for Deontay Wilder. And I don't see the third fight being any different. I think Tyson Fury will beat him. I think he'll beat him easier. I do think that that fight did a number on Deontay mentally, in addition to physically, but I think mentally it did a number on him too. I mean, after the fight, you heard the excuses he was making that his ring outfit was too heavy, you know, and that during fight week, you know, he was missing his girlfriend. And I'm like, oh no, don't do that. You know, so I don't see the third fight going any different. And, you know, he's blaming the corner for throwing in the towel, which they absolutely did the right thing. He was getting annihilated. And, you know, he's been saying that he might get a new corner. And I'm thinking if he gets a new corner, then Tyson's knocking him the hell out. You know, I don't think this is the time for him to go replacing Mark Breland, you know.
Yeah. Real quick before we jump, what is a lineal title? I know I may sound crazy in asking that, but I don't know what the hell they're talking about when they say someone is holds a lineal title.
It's usually held by, like, the undisputed champion, but then that champion takes, like, a recess or break, but he's still the reigning champion. So I think, like, at one time, like, Muhammad Ali was considered a lineal champion because I think he had all the belts, but then you know, remember when he got thrown in jail,
or he
took some time off, so when he came back he was the lineal champion, where, you know, he was undisputed, but then he had to take a recess. So I think that's what happened with Tyson Fury. He had a couple years where he was abusing drugs and he had mental health problems, and he just had to take a time out. And I think, you know, he stepped away from boxing for like a year or two. But at that time, when he stepped away, he had all four belts.
Got it.
I'm pretty sure that's what lineal champion means. I'm almost positive, but we might want to look that up, but I'm pretty sure.
Well, I'm going to trust you on that one, but why the hell do we say it? Because I've covered sports.
Well,
I'm sitting here,
it sounds
when they kept saying
good.
It, like,
it sounds good. It sounds good. Like, the lineal champion is like the man who beat the man who beat the man who beat the man. You know what I mean? Like, it sounds good because, you know, he held all four belts, and, you know, it's just a title that sounds good. But there is no real belt for lineal champion. Like, there's not no green belt or any piece of hardware. It's simply a title.
Gotcha. So it'd be like dating four really fine women, but you didn't marry any of them. So it really didn't matter.
Exactly. It's like having four beautiful women on your hip, but you didn't get to have sex with any of them.
There you go. See, that, you know, hey, I was in the same club with Toni Braxton, so I was a lineal clubite. Makes sense. So I'm going to let you go on this. You're still trying to do the Philly special. Are we just waiting for COVID to decide what it wants to do?
We're waiting for two things for the Philly special, either for this COVID nightmare to be over and done with, because I call myself a middle-class promoter. In boxing, there's the haves and there's the have-nots, right? There's the guys at the top and then the people at the bottom. But the middle class, we're the forgotten ones. So without a live gate, without a crowd, without an audience, it's really hard to, you know, pay your fighters, to cover the expenses. There is no TV package. There is no million-dollar check from ESPN or Fox or The Zone or a streaming service. So, you know, for me, you know, I can't do a show. Let's just use easy numbers. Let's say it costs me $100,000 to do a show. Well, how am I going to recoup that if I don't have a live gate, if I'm not selling tickets? I mean, even if I went and got sponsors, that's not going to cover the nut. So for the middle-class promoters like me and Bobby Hitz in Chicago and Thompson out in California and Christy Martin down in Florida, it's almost impossible for us to do shows right now without taking major losses. The other way that we can do the Philly special is if I were to get a TV package. So let's say the Impact Network or an ESPN or someone like that said, hey, you know what, we're going to give you like a rights fee, like a show box. Here's $100,000, do the show. We're going to own the rights to the show. We're going to air it. We're going to produce it. We're going to blah, blah, blah. I would do it in a heartbeat because at that point we wouldn't need a crowd. We wouldn't need a live gate. All the expenses would be covered. So COVID either needs to end and go away, or I need a TV package.
You know what we need to do? If that idiot, Paul Jakes or Jakes Paul or whatever his name is on YouTube, can make $5 million a year being an asshole, we have to get Michelle Rosado Raging Babe fights with enough views on YouTube so you could do what you do and put on a fight that you do, because they are great cards. And so we need to get that started. So you have way more followers than anybody. Start hashtagging Philly Special on YouTube. If these other clowns can do it, I know that I can, because I'm way more professional. So, but hey, I hope it all works out, because I know it will. Because
thank you.
Look, you don't just do fighting. You are a fighter, and if anyone's going to make this happen, I know it's you. And my friend,
I appreciate you. I mean, I remember you used to come to my shows in Phoenix, and I'm dying to do shows out here again. And I did a couple in Tucson, and, I would love to go back and forth between Philly and Arizona with shows again. And before this COVID thing happened, I mean, I had my whole calendar year planned out. I knew this was going to be the year. I was going to do about 3 or 4 shows in Philly, and I was going to do about 2 or 3 here in Phoenix. So, it's this COVID, put a number on a lot of us.
Yeah, I tell you what, though, they're cracking me up with these major sports, Michelle. You should see some of the stuff we have to go to just to get in the stadium. And I'm like, ooh, I don't know. I'm not trying to bring the devil to the house with me. So we'll see how it all goes. But I look, forever been proud of you. And the best part is, all these years, love having you on the show. You have been a true friend. Whenever I send that text message, you always get back. And I think back to the blue Sports Cave T-shirt I gave you, and you looked at me and said, because you were listen, for y'all that don't know, Michelle is always on point. She is never walking in and like short sweats, T-shirt, just chilling. You're not going to see that. If she's wearing a T-shirt, everything else is going to coincide perfectly with that T-shirt.
Yeah.
So I hand her a T-shirt, and I say, Michelle, I need you to throw this on so you can take a picture. You said, right now.
No problem.
I mean, because you were like, and you're like, let's do it. But usually there was the phone in the hand, and the Starbucks in the other, and it was, let's roll business. So,
oh my gosh,
I tell you what,
yes, you know me well. You remember?
I remember everything. You are truly a special one, my friend. I really appreciate
what you're
doing. I appreciate us always staying close. And y'all don't know this, but every now and then I'll see a picture and I'll just text one word to her, WEPA.
And I'll never forget, you were like the biggest Amir Khan fan, and I kept telling you Danny Garcia from Philly is gonna knock him out, I'm telling you, and you just love doing some Amir Khan and always picking Amir Khan.
why you bring out of all the stuff I just said, why you gotta bring that up? That's the one thing.
Oh,
you bring it up, I don't even know where he's at. You know what's funny though, I'll tell you what's funny. My son, Amir, is about to turn 9 in a couple of days. That's how long it's been. It's just crazy how long time flies, because I remember one time I said, my son's name is Amir, and he looked at me, and I was like, I know. But he was named after a Persian king. And he was like, it was like 8 months then, 7 months. That's how long we've been talking and hanging out and doing all this stuff together. So that's how much time flies.
Wow.
So,
good times.
Yes. But listen, you stay safe, please, amongst all this craziness out there. And don't listen to these idiots that's calling it a hoax, because everyone that calls it a hoax, someone close to them ends up coming down with it. So I ain't never seen a hoax happen to people that, claim it's a hoax. So you just be safe. And whenever anything you have going on, I'm here to promote or do whatever I can for you.
Thank you so much. We'll talk soon, I'm sure. I'll definitely
all
keep
right.
you posted on what's going on.
Please do, Michelle. You take care of yourself, all right?
Okay, you too. Have a good one.
All right. You too. Thanks.
Bye.
That was the one, the only Raging Babe, Michelle Rosado. It is always great to catch up with her. Truly one of the nicest people you're going to meet on this earth. We got a lot to get into still. 30 seconds. We're coming right back.
The Law Office of Carrie Lackey should be your first and only call if you are in need of a criminal defense attorney. Also specializing in DUI and accident cases, contact the Law Office of Carrie Lackey online or call 602-288-2303. And remember, the best offense is a good defense.
Don't just smoke your cigar, enjoy your cigar at Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco, located at 4991 South Alma School. That's on the corner of Alma School in Chandler Heights. There's numerous TVs for viewing while you smoke your cigar, or better yet, become a club member and enjoy the member lounge. That's Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco.
This is Elio Cobo with the Phoenix Suns, and I'm in the cave with PLR.
You never know what you'll hear on the Cave Show.
Here's the bottom line. If people were having great sex, we'd have world peace.
Welcome back to the Cave Show with PLR. Did you hear that last one? Hey, there it is. Welcome back to the Cave Show with PLR. This is PLR. So much to get into. We left off before the great Michelle Rosano joined us on the Carrie Lackey Law Line here on the Cave Show with PLR. We were talking basketball. We were talking what James Jones had said, the bubble being the safest place. And he's 100% right. I know the ESPN's Malika Andrews is down there now. Excuse me, she talked about a lot of the things, a lot of the preventative measures she had to go through, testing every day. You got to pass 7 tests. You're quarantined. You're in your room. You leave your room to go to a ballroom to take a test to go back to your room. And these are some of the things I said when the media credential request came out for all of us. It's a lot. It's a lot. And if the players are going to get down there and they've all been tested – and they've all been cleared, the hopes is that no one from Disney brings it in. Because I think the biggest fear for me is if someone brings it in, now you have all these people in one spot that have nowhere to go. And they're all, you know, at bay of COVID-19. But that's a whole different story. We're going to think positive. We're going to think positively that this jumps off. We know there have been players opting out and all of that. But hopefully this thing just jumps off. Baseball. There's a lot going on with baseball. Wow. So there are guys dropping out. There are guys that are sounding like their heart's not in it. There's this old song. I think it's by Midnight Star. So I'm like, if your heart's not in it, why won't you tell me so? Mike Trout. It does not sound like his heart is in this. Not even close. There's an old saying, and considering I just spoke to Michelle, there's an old saying about boxers. The second you think about retiring, you already retired. And if Mike Trout is already having reservations, that's saying a lot. Now, I do want to get into the quotes that I have from Mike Hazen and Christian Walker. But today, before we came on, about 30 minutes before we came on, POTUS decides to chime in on the Redskins and on the Indians. And I'm going to read this quote. And the word strength is capitalized. So remember that when I read this. They named teams out of strength, not weakness. But now the Washington Redskins and Cleveland Indians, two fabled sports franchises, look like they're going to be changing their names in order to be politically correct. Indians, like Elizabeth Warren, must be very angry right now. Okay, so let me say this. I don't think people that aren't offended by something have the right to tell those who are offended what they should be offended about. And you can't take anything or anyone seriously when they're saying something that asinine and dragging someone else into it and being dismissive and rude and unintelligent. People have said for years the Redskins moniker is offensive. But because it made a lot of rich people money, no one wanted to change it. Now, I've said here on this show, I've said it on the Inside Sport Talk Show. If we had a team name, if I bought a pro team right now, or you, and you named it the Phoenix derogatory Italian word, derogatory Polish word, derogatory Russian word. But I said, but it makes a lot of money. They should be fine. If I wore a T-shirt right now that said, let's rename the team, the Washington Caucasians, how would that go over? They're individual teams. See, this is where I get confused. If you're a team and you're owned by someone and you're feeling pressure to do something, that's on you. So we keep saying, let's keep politics out of sports. Well, when the lead politician is chiming in, I don't think you can say that anymore. I'm not going to jump all into the Bubba Wallace thing. I'll save that till tomorrow. I do want to mention, though, that everything is starting back up with baseball. And one of the things is, it's a 60-game marathon. So when we look at that 60-game marathon, how are we exactly phrasing this? Is it a new season? Is it an old season? Is it like a middling season? Is it a cul-de-sac instead of a through street? Exactly what are we looking at? Here's Mike Hazen, general manager of the Diamondbacks. His thoughts.
It feels new to me. It doesn't really feel like we're picking back up. It feels like we're, you know, in a lot of ways we're starting over. I don't believe that the players are in that position. I think that from everything we've gathered, obviously there's been some players that have been able to be here, that live here, that we've seen work out. There's another group of players that have been abroad that we have not. Throughout the country and in other countries. But it feels like we're coming back together for the first day, for the first time. I think it is going to be a challenge for every team and the team that does it the best to get the squad together, ready, and perform at a level, I think, that is completely different than we've all experienced before. You know.
So, and what he means by starting back up is because even though you had, you know, last season's over, World Series champs, been crowned, all that, you had spring training, or at least part of it. You were already on this boat moving. And then all of a sudden, and now you have to pick up again. But you're just not picking up baseball. You're picking up baseball in the middle of COVID. You're picking up baseball where you're not playing with fans. Everyone has to get tested. You have to go through a lot of stuff. Everyone is understanding that this thing is real. We have baseball players left and right testing positive. Down in Atlanta, Freddie Freeman tested positive. Guess what? Nick Markakis, he tapped out. He tapped out. He was ready to go. Talked to Freddie Freeman. After that, he's like, yo, man. He's like, yo, man. And his exact word, it was kind of eye-opening. A lot of people don't want to bring the devil home. You can keep walking around. There's a group of people walking around saying this thing ain't real. There are people walking around with it that aren't 70 years old. Players are testing positive for this, left and right. That tells you it's not a 70-year-old disease or virus. Joey Gallo, Rangers, tested positive. Now, there's a lot more players that will be out there, but they've got to let you know that they want to be known that they are positive. So there are HIPAA laws. But these guys are tapping out. Just, you know, everything is going to be fine. It's 99% not out there. It's almost gone. 130,000 plus people have died. Millions of people have come down with this. Milwaukee Brewers shortstop, Luis Urias, tested positive. Angel Perdomo, tested positive. Last I checked, there were no 70-year-old baseball players still playing the field, still pitching. And even though the rate is low, unlike basketball, these cats aren't playing in a bubble. These cats aren't anywhere near a bubble. They're going to be going home. They could be taking a double back with them. Listen to Archie Bradley and the way they're treating you in the clubhouse to try to help ensure you don't come down with COVID.
We're just thinking when we come in, and then just, you know, from the day-to-day stuff in the clubhouse, you know, we have, this may sound silly, but we have our own shower bin now. You know, we don't have used soap. We don't have, you know, spray deodorant, hair gel. Everything is on your own. When you use weight equipment in the weight room, you have to go put it in a certain area for it to be cleaned after you use it. There's protocol in the way we eat. So, I mean, really, everything really is different. But really, I think the best way to answer this question that I think we're going to get a lot is we're doing whatever we're asked. It is weird. You know, there are guys that are complaining, but I'm on the side of I'm happy to be here, and I want to be safe, and I want to play. So I think regardless of how weird and how different it is, guys are just going to have to do it, or, you know, really, you can just go home.
He continued.
Now I'm definitely taking it more serious. Not that I wasn't before, but I was able to quarantine the right way back home and I left. But, you know, it kind of goes along the same lines of us wondering if we're going to play or not. And now that we are here and we're set up to start a season, I am going to be doing everything I can to follow those restrictions and guidelines as closely as I can. From using Amazon Prime to order my groceries, different things like that. But I'm definitely going to be following the guidelines and trying to stay around the people who are in our bubble the most.
So they're taking this stuff seriously. No one's playing around with this. This isn't a joke. And baseball is trying its best to find a way to keep everyone safe, to keep everyone in a spot where they're able to play. Now, Archie Bradley is taking it very seriously and a lot more serious than a lot of our politicians in the world. And here's why he's taking this more seriously than a lot of the politicians who can only focus on a bunch of bull crap when he's telling you this crap is not.
COVID just, you know, it makes people happy. You know, I'm one of these people that's been personally affected by this virus. My dad, my brother, and my mom, all three had it. And I know there's people in this state and the whole world that have been affected. So I hope that if anything, baseball can kind of come back to what it's supposed to be America's pastime, America's calling card, and really bring this country together with everything it's going through, from the social injustice and everything going on out there to, you know, the pandemic that's happening right now. I think baseball is a chance to be the shining light in America and really bring us together as a country.
Archie is so right. He is so right. Baseball can be the one thing right now that galvanizes everybody. And he said it. You know, his dad was sick. His dad was in the hospital. You just never know how it hits you. You could be asymptomatic, or it could hit you. But he's right about that. Baseball has a real opportunity to be real special. You know, Michelle and I, earlier, the Raging Babe, who was on talking boxing with us, you know, when we were talking about what has an opportunity, I said boxing had an opportunity to be that thing that everyone watched. Well, now baseball has that shot. And we already talked about a long time ago how baseball kind of missed a little bit of their window while they were farting around getting everything together. But it seems like they're trying their best to allow people to go home and still come back to the stadiums, to the ballparks, and be able to stay in a safe environment. And Archie talked about some of the things that you're going to have to do if you decide that you want to play. You got to follow this. Or just go home and stay home. Now, in saying that, you still want to know baseball. You still want to talk baseball. You want to know the strategies. I know Torrey Lovello, manager of the Diamondbacks. I talked to him and asked him about, you know, staying on schedule, not jumping ahead. And he said, you know what, you have people that reel you in because if guys look really good, you have a tendency to jump ahead. When you got to stick to the plan, you got to stick to what you're doing. Can't do that. Can't jump ahead. But I was curious, who's going to be ahead? I know I had the opportunity to ask Jimmy Leiwitz the same question. Who's going to have the advantage? But Christian Walker, Diamondbacks, who's ahead? Pitchers or the hitters?
That's a good question. I think, me personally, I'd like to think hitters. I've had this time. I haven't really had to ramp down swings. Luckily, we had some facilities that accommodated all the social distancing and kept safe and got us plenty of reps. So for me, I feel like I haven't missed a beat. I almost feel like I'm still in mid-season form coming into the season. And to be honest, it was kind of ideal the way the whole thing worked out. And everybody's situation is different, but at least from my perspective, I feel like I'm not really.
You heard Christian. He said he's ahead. I like that. It's going to be curious to see because we know in football, offense, defense, they always argue. Ed Smith once said the offense is like a ballet. Everyone has to be in unison. Defense, see ball, get ball. All right, we're good. See ball, get ball. I can't believe our show is going by this quickly. Let's throw some stuff out there because we're going to have to start wrapping this up. Patrick Mahomes, as we would say on the west side of Chicago, let me hold $20. You won't even miss it. And why he won't miss it? He reports, air quotes, are saying he has re-upped 10 years, $400 million. That's $40 million per. And I'm about to say something to you, and you're going to shake your head and say, how the hell do you say that? That's really cheap. That's really cheap. And I'm going to tell you why. We're going to cut that contract in half. So if 10 years is worth $400 million, 5 years would be worth what? Come on, mathematicians. Work it out. That'd be half. It'd be $200 million. Correct? Okay. If you pay Patrick Mahomes, who is the best quarterback in football, that much money, you are getting him really on the cheap. Big time on the cheap. And I say that because if Dak Prescott, who's a good quarterback, but he doesn't reside in the Patrick Mahomes area code, zip code, any code, if he makes and gets $35 million a year over 5 years, that's $175 million. If you extrapolate, that's a big word, extrapolate that over 10 years, he would get $350 million. Patrick Mahomes is more than $50 million better over the lifetime of a contract than Dak Prescott. I'm not thinking like that. I'm just talking about him because his contract has been in the news forever. It makes me wonder why Patrick Mahomes signed a contract for so long. Because there's got to be somewhere where he's going to have an out. I don't have all the details of the contract just yet. I will for you by tomorrow. But doesn't it seem like he could command more than that? But then at the same time, if someone is looking at you in your face in a sport where you're always one injury away from everything ending, and you're about to make $400 million before endorsement, it's real hard to say no to that. Congratulations. Well, more details on that as well tomorrow. Tonight, I will be on Inside Sport video blog. That'll be up on social media later, so make sure you check that out, of course, with the one and only Ed Cole and Joanna Rosalie, the founder of Inside Sports. Also, don't forget, 3 o'clock every day, you can check out The Cave Show on the KSRN Network. Download it from your Apple App Store or your Google Play Store and check it out. $400 million. American dollars. Don't forget, we started something here. Every Friday, we will have the Doofus of the Week. Now, it doesn't necessarily have to be an athlete, but it has to be someone tied to something that happened in the athletic realm. So if you said something stupid, did something stupid, doesn't matter. On Friday, you could win the Doofus of the Week. Like I said, I wanted to get into the Bubba Wallace stuff. We'll do that tomorrow. I don't want to waste any more energy on what stupid people say in regards to Bubba Wallace or team names or anything like that. And if you disagree with me on team names, you have every right to disagree. If you disagree with me when it comes to me talking about the Confederate flag, you have every right to disagree. And I say it's your right to be an idiot. So, it's Monday. I'm going to put this out on Twitter and Instagram where you can vote for who you think. I cannot believe it's time to wrap this bad boy up. It just flew by. Where does the time go? Thank you to the one, the only, Michelle Rosado, the Raging Babe, promoter, boxing promoter, and the showcase creator of the Philly Special. Friends forever, thank you for joining me today on The Cave Show with PLR. All calls are made via the Kelly Lackey Law Line. Make sure you're following us on social media, all the social media platforms, at the Sports Cave, or Caves with a K, on the Twitter, on the Instagram, and on the Facebook. SportsCave.com is a website. Again, Cave is with the K. And you can find me directly on the Twitter, PLR on Sports.
Bombs and birdies, baby. Bombs and birdies.
That's why we're going to end this show talking bombs and birdies, baby. Bombs and birdies. Thank you for joining us today. We are back tomorrow with another Lotus show. Make sure you're checking social media to find out who the guests will be. Until then, Mighty Temptations close us out.